What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Gettys.
Got a new bomber jacket. I know to everyone watching, they're going to be like, is that new? I assure you it is. I assure you it is. It's really nice.
Is it because you wore out the other olive bomber jacket, or is it because you just needed – what's the thing?
It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, because the other olive one was a very, very, very cheapo one. Like, that was a $20 jacket I got searching on Amazon for dope jackets back in 2015. Jesus. You know, today, as of recording, is our seven-year anniversary of Kind of Funny, leaving IGN, all that stuff, which is insane. But then that also marks the seven-year anniversary of me first looking up dope bomber jackets on Amazon.
Sure.
So all of those.
Big anniversary for
still,
you.
I know, it's huge. I can still wear them because, like, they're not, like, falling apart on the outside, but a lot of the inside stuff is starting to get a little bit, like, you know, wear and tear that going
a,
on.
Yeah, that's a long – how often are you washing those jackets? And this isn't me saying you're a clean person. It's just
definitely not enough. I'm going to be honest with you. But, you know, enough that, like, it's, you know, going to wear and tear over time. But I was like, I'm going to up my game just a little bit. So I'm proud to announce this is a $40 jacket.
Whoa. Wow.
Congratulations.
Wow. Double the money. That's going to last 14 years, probably.
14 years. Mm-hmm.
Kevin, I'm sending you something.
So the Patreon users know where their money is going.
Right here.
Which is, yeah, okay.
And high quality. See, you know what's nice about this one, though? It's green on the inside. Green on the outside. None of that bright orange stuff.
Oh. I kind of like that, though.
Yeah, me
like
too, Greg.
Over my break, I fell in love with wearing the kind of the PS I Love You jacket. And I like that flare of red in it when I open it up. You know,
that's what
Nick Scarpino. Yeah. I'm sorry, producer slash seducer Nick Scarpino. What's your question?
It's kind of like the pop of orange inside the Miyagi-Do geese. Tim will get that reference. Andy, this question's for you. How hard do I have to grind in this game to get the other color variant for Tim's avatar? Like, is there one where it's blue and blue? Is there one where he has rope tied around him? Like, how hard? How many nights do I have to put in on
what?
That?
Rope tie?
What are you even working? Trying to get he was like, the gears were rolling. He was making this very detailed video game reference. It was topical and good. And now, they got the rope tied around him.
Here's the thing. You guys think I'm crazy. Because I am a little crazy, Greg. But there is a legit one of the avatars or one of the operators I used to play when we played Warzone.
Yeah.
Looked exactly like Tim. And there was a variant where he was like a mountain climber and he had rope. A tie around this way. And he looked exactly like Tim right now. Kevin, of course, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. He'll bring that up.
Well, Kevin, bring up the thing I sent you. I saw you working on it right there. Like this, you say 7 years ago, Tim, is when you Googled Amazon and found dope bomber jackets. I have this photo. You might be in this photo actually looking for dope bomber jackets.
That's actually why I brought it up. In this photo, we're launching Kind of Funny. Meanwhile, I was on Amazon. There I am, fervently looking at different bomber jackets.
Sure. Yeah.
Here we are.
It was the most important thing.
That's the avatar right there. Thanks, Kev.
Perfect. No, it just looks a lot like Tim does right this second, doesn't
it's
just it?
Wearing a beanie. That's the only.
He looks nothing like Tim right now.
It looks exactly like Tim. Look at him, Tim. Give me that. Give me that look right there. Looks exactly like him. His hair, the beanie, the shirt.
Jesus. And then rounding out the quartet, he's the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas Street Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting, headshotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Oh, baby, it feels so good to hear that once again from our fearless leader, Greg Miller, back at it, baby.
I can't wait to get you back in San Francisco, Andy. You look at you still over there in the RGV in your dad's extremely large chair. Looking like a 11-year-old sitting there playing computer day games. So at your dad, turn on Flight Sim. Flight Sim isn't working.
Let's play some, what was it, Putt-Putt?
Putt-Putt the Magic Car. Yeah. No, I never had those. I had like some shitty games that were just kind of, one of them was a brick breaker. Sure. There was one sure. It was a lot of the pinball game. It was a lot of that stuff, guys.
Andy, did you see recently that it was discovered that pinball game actually had other maps, but you had to pay for them to get them? So the space one was the only free one, so everyone just assumed it was the only map there was in the Windows pinball game.
Maybe I know this. Was one of the maps called Pangea?
I mean, no, Pangea was before everything broke up.
Pangea pinball machine. Wait, hold on. I did know this, Tim. No, I lied. Didn't know this. I didn't know this.
He thought it did. Mm-hmm.
Pinball Windows.
I just didn't like the commercials.
You telling me the little kid that I showed him didn't look more like him than this guy?
This guy was way more like him, aside from the blonde hair, he's wearing a same colored hat.
Aside from the blonde hair, the little kid was wearing a gray hat, a beanie.
Oh my God, there's so many things wrong with this. I love it.
There it is. Look at that. Look at that. You got it right there. Yell at Gia. Have Gia bring some rope. Get cool, give him some rope.
Greg, they got a lot of rope floating around that house. They just don't want you to know about it, if you know what I'm talking
about. Oh, okay. Ooh. I see what you're doing.
Bonjour, bonjour.
Wow, Tim, there's a lot of levels in this game, huh?
Real quick, you'll see, baby.
You lucked out on that, Nick. You skated by on that one. Okay.
What was that? What does that mean?
Andy opened his mouth.
What does like, that mean?
Nick dead to rights on Moju Moju talking about robes, and Andy's still talking about the game. I was like, all right, well, that could have been.
I thought I just inadvertently said something horrible in French because you know sometimes I do that.
I mean, I think Moju Moju is nothing.
I hate the idea of Nick making sounds and then being like, "Oh no, what did I say?" Like that's just the worst.
That's the world we're living in now, bro. Yeah. I can't even make mouth noises anymore.
No, you're making fun of a language though. Just to be fair, because it's French, nobody respects the French.
We
don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
any other language, you would have been in a lot of trouble. Just so you know.
Oh, totally, totally, totally. But that's why I pick the languages to make fun of very delicately.
Very selective.
There's an algorithm going on up here, and it says A plus B plus X factor equals laughs, and the laughs come out of my mouth.
Damn,
Greg, that's a new thing.
Out of your mouth,
you missed that.
You're making yourself laugh. That's.
More often than not, I'm the only one laughing.
More often than not. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five, best friends gather around this table, each coming with a topic or bullshit they want to bullshit about. If you want to bullshit with us, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, you can write in to be part of the show. You can be a Patreon producer. You can be watching live like my trogs are. I saw Joey Noel. I'm like, she's not one of them. Edwin, Joshy G, John Blizzard, Cody are all hanging out right now in the live chat with each other. And of course, me as I look at them and slowly sometimes pull them in. Peppermint. Of course, on patreon.com/con. Oh, I'm sorry. Slow, everybody, emergency break here. You know what I mean? Nick Scarpino, what do you got for me?
The trog joke, Greg. Yeah. You have no idea how much they ran that into the ground when you were gone.
The audience?
Yeah.
The paying customers?
It's just the live track. It's just the live chat.
They love it. They're proud of it. Oh my God. Let me tell you, this is what I've talked about for 7 years now, is that our audience, we love them. We couldn't do it without them. And these bastards love being talked down to. I called them troglodytes once on a show, and they're all like, trogs! They're all stoked to be troglodytes who are in the live chat. And I was with them a few times. They love it. They love being trogs. They're the trog gang.
At one point, Trog Gang or something like that.
Yeah, they're Trog Gang, they're Trog Life. Yeah, you got Yazin is there right now. Trog Life, they're all about it, yeah.
Oh God,
let them band together. And this again, 7 years ago, what are we going to call our audience? Best friends? And I was like, scumbags, call them scumbags.
Here we are.
We would have 3 million subscribers right now if we were the Kind of Funny scumbags.
Point of clarification, both of those names came out of you. You came up with both of those.
But you know how it is, Nick. I am yin and yang, all right?
Yes, you are.
I want you to know it's been 3 months of paternity leave. How many times do you think I've been walking around with little baby Benjamin, bopping him around, having a podcast with myself in my head?
Oh, Greg, I'm well aware. I'm well aware of the amount of times that you think this happened. Yeah.
I don't know how you would know so much about it. You know, it doesn't sound.
Who's at the front door?
It's a package.
Oh, was that Tim?
That was me, yeah.
Sorry,
I don't know why I was so loud.
I was like, we're about to get a drop in at Andy's house in the RGV. Let's see how this one fans out. Like I was saying, patreon.com/kindoffunny. You can watch live. You can get the show ad-free. And of course, you get the post show we do exclusive with each and every episode. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. There are plenty of ways to support Kind of Funny for free. One of the easiest, of course, is using our Epic creator code, Kind of Funny, all one word, whether you're actually on the Epic Game Store, whether you're just buying V-Bucks and Fortnite on your Switch. If you sync it up with our creator code, that gets us money and doesn't do anything to you. Plus, you can watch the show for free on youtube.com/kindoffunny. You can watch it on Rooster Teeth. You can watch it or listen to it for free on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you. as I've said several times, and probably will say several more times throughout this show, Kinda Funny is 7 years old today as we record this. However, we're not going crazy with the celebration. We have a brand new studio we are almost done with, kinda, sorta, hopefully, God please. And when we move in there, that's when we're gonna do the big old shenanigan party stream, hang out, get crazy, blah, 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 new shows, whatever the hell we do. However, that doesn't mean we're doing nothing. This Friday, January 7th, we are celebrating 7 years of Kinda Funny. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. Come hang out with us all day long as we shoot the shit, order some pizzas, play some games. Andy keeps talking a good talk about everybody's golf, but he hasn't put it on the schedule, so he's probably a coward and never will play me.
No, I don't, look, you tell me when to show up. You tell me when my tee time is. I'm going to show up, okay?
Uh-huh.
And okay. Basketball shorts and basketball shoes. I never wear golf apparel, and sometimes they don't let you golf there. Tim, did you know that if you show up to a golf place with like just basketball shorts, sometimes they're like, get out of here.
I mean, that's country clubs, right? That's why, I mean, like, they're super racist already, let alone if you show up looking like you showed up for the wrong sport.
You're definitely right there. But a lot of times we just try to like sneak on. We try to go golfing several times while I was down here. And we never went, partly because it was my fault, and my brother wants to go at like 7 a.m.
Yeah, it's just, that's horrible.
What are you doing at 7 a.m? You know what I mean?
Your day right, man.
Wait, what do you say?
I get up at 5:30 nowadays. Let me tell you.
I wonder why.
I can feel it. I've been getting a new schedule. Like, you know what I mean? Joey Noel commented today when we were Joey Noel celebrating 5 years at Kinda Funny today. Congratulations. Joey Noel commented today on Slack. Her and I were talking about something completely different. She's like, and also you're sending email replies to Patreon kids at like 11:15 at night. And I was like, would you also like to know that that was after a 45-minute Peloton workout? Because I do that at 10:30 now. I'm insane, ladies and gentlemen. You got to take whatever hour you can get now. Whatever minute you can have, you go and do it. So, yeah, Greg, your brother's got kids. Of course he's waking up at 7 or playing golf at 7.
Where's the Peloton? Where is that located?
So you remember how long our living room is? And so there's right. Those stairs in the, like, right next to the windows there where we had nothing. It's there on the little pad. It looks really nice. I was really concerned it was going to look like bike? Shit, but it looks good. It's the bike. Yeah, I did the bike.
Oh. And do you remember how long their living room is? It's on the roof. They put the Pellington.
You remember how long the living room is? It's in the basement.
It's not bad.
Well, speaking of 5 a.m., of you waking up at 5 a.m., I have a I wanted to play this message that you sent to me at 5 p.m. That I had put on the Kinda Funny account, and I was really worried about you coming back. But for those of y'all who don't really read socials, this is a message that I got on December 26th, the day after Christmas, 5:30 p.m. Here we go. Lots of silence, of course, in the beginning.
Andy, it's Greg. It's raining here in San Francisco. Took your advice. Been doing drugs every day.
You're an idiot.
Now, you might say, why would I send a message like that? And it's twofold, ladies and gentlemen. Number one, of course, Andy's not in San Francisco. He deserves to know if it's raining or not, right? Everybody wants to be kept abreast of the situation. Maybe he left the window open. He wants to call Barrett. Barrett's got to go in there and close the window. Number two, I go to court. Take Andy down. If I get arrested for drugs one day, it looks like it was all Andy's fault. And then I get to flip on him. I'm watching a lot of Sopranos. It could be a RICO case. I get to be the informant. I make up a bunch of stuff, right? Again, I just call Barrett. I tell him, hey, in that weird hidey hole you got with the broken air conditioner heater up there that doesn't do anything, hide some drugs. You know what I mean? And then we write Andy on it, like in Toy Story font. You know what I mean?
You know, I'm not too aware of how courts work, like officially and legally and all that stuff.
I jumped ahead. It wouldn't be a court thing. It would be when they arrested me. Right? And then they get me to flip.
Were you going to ask about a RICO? Tim, were you gonna ask that?
No, I was just going to say, like, I'm not sure the best evidence is this soundbite of you telling Andy that you're doing drugs because he told you to, while laughing hysterically with the sound of rain in the background. It's like, I'm not so sure this one's going to hold up.
Tim, you think that's the flaw in his plan? Not the fact that he's going to go to Barrett to get him hardcore drugs?
Yeah.
Like, Barrett's like, yeah, I got a line and a kilo of cocaine. Why not?
No, he doesn't have it already, but you need to remember, of course, Barrett is CEO Junior, all right? And he takes that job very seriously.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Barrett is one of the people that I say is D2C, and that's down to clown, all right? This guy is ready to do stuff. And if that means buying a pie for me to throw at Andy or pinning cocaine drugs on him, he'll do it. Barrett's down to clown. He'll help me out, and I appreciate that.
You're
Thank you for putting Barrett in that spot, by the way, where he had to be co-CEO and totally lie to us for an entire day, and then you had to come in with your madness. Poor Barrett.
That was all Barrett. You know what I mean? Like, I love a good joke, and he hit me up the days before, and he's like, if I win this thing, I'm going to give it back to you. And I was like, I will pay attention to the CEO battle in Mario Party then to be able to run in if it happens. And so then it's, you know, me bouncing this baby, burping this baby or whatever, and then constantly checking. And I'm like, you'd see me pop up in chat. Twitch chat was noticing, where I'd be like, how many more turns are left? You're like 30 or whatever. I'm like, ah, Jesus Christ. All right.
So long.
I was literally like, how long will that take? And they're like, I don't know. Like, right, I'll see you guys later. I'll be back for that. You got to be on top of it. You know what I mean? And speaking of being on top of it, ladies and gentlemen, our Patreon producers are always on top of it. Let's thank Delaney Twinning, James Davis Makes, a.k.a. I'm sorry, James Davis, Bionicle in Review 2022, Praise Portillo, Greg Miller's Back and Better Than Ever, and Pranksky. Today we're brought to you by Upstart, Raycon, and ExpressVPN, but I'll tell you about that later. Tim, you were about to say something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so before the break, I got to go down to LA, got to go to the Spider-Man premiere. Already talked about that. It was awesome. It was fantastic, Greg. We haven't really talked about it, but it was really, really cool.
But if I could, again, I'm just going to jump in here. As a proud member of the Trog community, someone who listens to the show and is in the live chat, I told you this when I got down to watch Spider-Man with you. And I think I told each one of you, I don't know if I actually had time to tell Andy, but I have to applaud you. Again, I have such a unique perspective now, 3 months on the bench, just being a listener and or viewer.
A trog yourself, yeah.
A trog myself. You guys, and I guess me too at that, or at least our company, but you guys especially in this situation, are the masters of bullshitting. Where I remember seeing the time codes go through that day, I looked at Slack and I was like, oh, they have some weird funny stuff in here, but whatever. And then getting in the car and be like, oh, I have time to listen to the podcast and hear Tim's story about going to Spider-Man, the premiere. And I popped in and it started and I was like, right, they bullshit around for like 45 minutes. I'm never going to get to I'll be at the theater long before I get to this story. And I thought about skipping and I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I'll miss some kind of insight. And listening to you morons fucking talk about was it the nachos or the quesadilla or whatever the Maz Mots act, the mozzarella sticks, I was like, I was in hysterics driving this car and I totally forgot that I actually wanted to hear Tim's real story. Instead, it was mozzarella sticks and how many mozzarella sticks you motherfuckers should order and eat.
Really important conversation.
It was great. It was great. Now that I'm back, I want to again applaud you for being so goddamn good. I'm sorry though, Tim. You were saying.
Yeah, no. So in that, I got to go. It was great. But I showed a lot of pictures and it was super fun in the last episode. There was one picture that I don't think I showed in that one that I wanted to bring up now that we have a little bit more time to talk about it. This has been something that I didn't necessarily know if I wanted to bring up on the show because it's really fucking stupid. But I realized that's what this whole thing is. And I need to get your thoughts about me and my thoughts on this.
Sure. Okay, great.
Here I am.
So if you're an audio listener, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
You know what, Greg? I want you to just explain it before I give my thoughts.
Tim has given us a photo here from a cell phone. He is, I would say, row 22, 25 of a United airplane. He is taking the photo down. He's in the middle seat. You're in the middle seat shooting over. You're on the left side of the plane shooting into the middle of the aisle here. And we see a man in a pinstriped collared shirt standing in the middle of the aisle, a woman with a beret in her hair, and a flight attendant maybe checking the first class cabins. What am I looking at here? What am I seeing?
So you nailed a lot of that. You got a lot colors, wrong, but that doesn't matter. What matters here is the woman with the hair up with some form of hair tool. A clip in her hair.
There it is.
I'm looking at this, and what is it about my broken ass mind that my first thought that I could not get out of my head is this looks like if Nick Scarpino was a Muppet.
Yeah, wow. I see it.
I see it so clearly.
Like, it's missing some eyes. but I see
where the eyes are supposed to be, right? Like, the middle
and that,
lighting
that
is
part
the
of
nose.
The hair is the nose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I see it.
Photoshop.
I'm sitting on this plane like, what? That's Nick. That's here.
Unbelievable.
You're doing the thing that our subreddit does where it's like just any bearded guy looks like Nick. But I mean, Tim, you're not wrong on this one, dude.
Thank you. It kind of
reminds me
that it's not that wrong either. You know what I mean? Lots of times, the bearded people in stock photos do look like Nick.
Madeline Stanley in the chat says, put an orange beanie on it.
Oh, Christ. Here we go.
Should I do it right now?
Here's the next year of my life on Twitter whenever I check Twitter. It's like, here's more beanie pictures for you.
Nick, it could be a lot worse, just so you know.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
This could be a lot worse and
perpetuated by somebody a lot worse.
Very true. You know what's funny, Tim, is I actually just watched the Sesame Street documentary on HBO, which if you guys haven't watched, I actually highly encourage you to. It's very, very good. And I did not know a lot about Sesame Street, having only, like, when I watched it as a kid, you didn't understand all the relevancies of it. But it's a really, really cool look at that. And it's one of those things where, like, right when they started playing the theme song to Sesame Street, I, like, started tearing up. And I was like, fuck, I think this show meant a lot more to me than I remember it meaning. Like, because I always thought to myself, well, I'm, like, more of a Muppets guy. But I didn't – it's a stupid kid. I thought there was, like, a line in the sand between you were either a Sesame Street
like
kid or a
DC
Muppet
kid. Or Marvel.
Exactly. Not realizing that, of course, there was a ton of crossover and, like, Kermit was, like, you know, in both. But anyway, sorry, non sequitur on that one, kind of.
Okay, following up on that, in the most concise way possible, what's going on with Elmo? Is he canceled?
No.
I just keep seeing Elmo trending, and I'm like, this, he's not dead.
No, I think maybe the guy that puppeteered him had some controversy, potentially.
Okay, oh. Here's what I got. Yeah, okay, something about he has a beef with Rocco the Rock. I'm going to read from NPR. Reading from
so
NPR.
Much better than I expected.
Elizabeth Blair's article, what's making us smile? Uh-huh. That time Elmo lost his cool over Rocco. Oh, there's a video. I guess we could just watch that.
Let's just watch that.
Oh, Gabby, can I have an oatmeal raisin cookie instead, please?
Oh, gee, Elmo, that was my last one.
Oh, that's okay, Gabby. I'll just get this one.
No, wait, Elmo. What? Rocco says that he wants the oatmeal raisin cookie.
Rocco's a rat, Zoe. Rocco won't know the difference.
Yes, he will. You can't have that cookie, Elmo. Rocco wants to eat it.
How? How is Rocco going to eat that cookie, Zoe? Tell Elmo. Elmo doesn't even have
That's enough of that, I think.
That's amazing.
Wait, is that all? So that's why Elmo is canceled?
I don't think he's canceled. I think we were just joking about it.
I think that might be a joke. No. I'm confused by it.
I'm very confused.
I'll read the article
watching
if you want.
That,
here you go.
Watching
Elmo
that did
losing
not
his
solve anything.
Elmo losing his last nerve feels so good right now. With Omicron raging and the prospect of more mass shutdowns, the beloved Muppet yelling at his pal Zoe's pet rock, Rocco's just a rock, is downright cathartic. Thank you for sending the clip. To Sesame Workshop, this is episode 4077 from May 3rd, 2004, titled Elmo Feels He's Treated Unfairly by Rocco. The Sesame Street episode is, of course, some kind of lesson in sharing and waiting your turn. Zoe asks if she can join Elmo's playdate with her friend Gabby and brings along her friend Rocco. When Elmo wants to say the alphabet, Zoe says Rocco wants to jump. They compromise. When Elmo wants to go to the next tire swing, Zoe says, no, it's Rocco's turn. But when Zoe won't let Elmo take Rocco's oatmeal cookie because, hey, rocks can't eat, Elmo can't take it anymore. Rocco's a rock, Zoe. Rocco won't know the difference. As of this writing, the tweet that we just saw has over a whole bunch of likes.
As of this writing.
We'll keep you updated and abreast of the situation. Kev, thank you for bringing up this screen we're looking at here, where there is an article that says, Elmo's right about Rocco, and it's time we acknowledge that. Elmo's been beefing with the Rock since 1999, which is the best picture of Elmo.
It's like, such a good picture. It's
such a good wrapped out of his mind.
Isn't he 3 years old?
I don't know,
no, man.
I think now he's got to be at least.
That's like the
45.
Picture that no, Fox News would old. Pick if, like, posting a Joe Biden article. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to make him look insane. Great job, sensationalist right there. I'm almost done with the beanie Photoshop. By the
thank
way,
you. Thank you very much.
Great. That's top priority. Mm-hmm. That's top priority. You mentioned, what do we got here? Still three years old for Elmo?
Yeah, Kevin. When I was saying he's like a 45 year old, what I meant was he sounds just from the amount of energy and anger behind his words, he sounds like a 42-year-old Italian man that's on a podcast.
Same height. You.
How dare you?
Don't. Now, come on. Kevin, you know that kids watch this show. You just ruined Elmo.
They absolutely not. We talked about that. Remember when we said we're kid-friendly? And you said, yeah, I fucking love kids.
Bring us your kid, I think is what you said. Let us have your kid or something like that.
Well, there's been a lot of good stuff going around about me losing my mind coming back from paternity leave and having all this pent-up energy. But it was shit, fuck. I want to say it was Emma Watkins Jr., but it might not have been. Somebody who, like, on the day of when I put up one of those videos, reminiscing about when I tombstone pile-drived that kid at Kansas City Comic Con. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, that was me trying to make it up to him after he brought up a sign in the middle of the show that was like, we love you. And I grabbed it and I was in the middle of some rant. And I screamed at him and threw it back in his face. And as soon as it left my hand, I saw him start to get, like, I grabbed him like, no, sorry, took it too far. Get up here for the joke.
That poor kid scarred for life. He'll never make a sign again. Still,
I love that you were like, wait, I love that he was like, devastated. He was actually devastated. I believe you tore up his sign or you wrinkled it and then threw it into his face.
And threw it back in his face. Yeah.
And like he was sad. And your mind was like, no, don't worry. I'll do a wrestling move on him.
Now remember, it wasn't straight tears to the Tombstone Piledriver. It was tears, and then I scooped him up and brought him on stage, and we made him part of the show, and everything was good. And then I forget, yada yada yada. Then I Tombstone Piledriver. There's something happened in the middle of the show.
You whispered in his ear like, "Are you down to rough house?" Or you said something along.
I don't remember that, but I love it.
He didn't know what that meant.
Someone
he
is still animating kind of funny bits. Please, dude.
Actually,
close up
of
this kid's ear in my eye. Are you down to rough house?
It was something along that phrase.
Didn't understand, right? He was like confused by it. And you were like, terrified. Good enough.
What? Yeah. Look, even if he understood, there's no way that this kid's going to be like, oh yeah, rough house. Like, oh, me and my dad do that. We kind of run. He did not expect to be Tombstone pile driven. No.
It was
if
rough
he
house.
There in Kansas City, ladies and gentlemen, I went to full nine. I grabbed his arms, I crossed them, and I did the Undertaker thing. I was there for it. All right, don't worry about it.
It's just a nice analogy for the circle of life, right? Sometimes you get really excited about something, and then you make a sign for it, and then that thing takes the sign and it tosses you back in your face. But then it brings you up on stage, and you get a taste of what it feels like to be a D-list celebrity on the internet. And then that thing takes you, and then it pile drives you into the ground and compresses two of your vertebrae.
There are a lot of things you could take away from that and apply to your real life. You know what I mean?
Circle of life.
Things that could happen right there.
Circle of life.
And that's the thing right now that kind of sucks about Benjamin is that he's still too small for me to throw around. Like, I'm stoked for when we get in that period where I can just start choke slamming this kid left and right. I've told Jen that once he is of age, we will institute a 24/7 belt in this house. Yep. That means when we're like at a Target or whatever, like it could pop off. And then Jen's got to hopefully have a referee shirt on at all times to be ready to make the count. Cause I was like, that's what I need for you. Okay. I understand. You don't want to wear the referee shirt all the time. That's fine. But I need you to be the ref and make counts. You know what I mean?
It's going to be so great when this kid turns like 17 and is hanging out with his friends at a Target. And all of us fucking goons just tackle them. Yep. And cameras come out. And he's just like, "Dad, I just want to be an accountant. I don't want to be a part of this world. How many times have I told you?" And Greg's like,
I'm not down to rough house.
That'd even be better. It's, you know, we've had a lot of, and I know that, you know, I'm not going to name names. Some people think our comedy's highbrow. Some things it's lowbrow. People who make the comedy with us. But we had, of course, one of the classic kind of funny stories of Rimothy, right? And Paula's wedding and some throats getting slit and all these things, right? Like,
man, I'm sorry, that, what?
Right? What? Right there. Right there, right? You already leaned into another great one of like, yes. And now it's real, though, right? Now the prophecies are coming true. But yeah, imagine Benjamin and his friends are out at Applebee's, right? They've just seen whatever movie, the 64th Marvel movie, right?
They drink margaritas? Too.
No, they're too young at this point. Oh, but shit. They come and they put the bill down and Benjamin goes and grabs it. And then the waiter leans into the air and just goes, "Are you down to rough house?" And he's like, "Oh shit, and it's me." And it's cookie sheet to the face and we're brawling through Applebee's. You know what I mean?
God, I love that.
Nick's there doing the commentary. We got a whole thing.
Manager's like, "What? We just hired him. What the fuck's going on?"
I actually embedded myself to make it happen.
It's like tag. If you went through like two interviews to get the job, it took 3 months just on the off chance your kid would show up.
I know he loves Applebee's.
Can old Benny establish his move as the Hurricane Rana?
I hope so, yeah.
Because I want you to establish your move as the Jackknife. And
Jackknife Powerbomb, sure.
The Jackknife Powerbomb, because I want there to be situations where you don't know which way it's going to go, and there's going to be moments where old Benny jumps on you trying to give you a Hurricane Rana, but you catch him, and he's stuck in the air, and he's like, no, and you're like, oh, and the crowd goes crazy, and big old Powerbomb.
Oh,
right,
dude,
there,
Andy,
in the
I
middle
don't know.
Of the Applebee's.
Eventually, we're going to, I guess we'll be back at RTX, whatever, you know what I mean? You, me, Benjamin, I don't care about anybody else, but we're hanging out at the pool, right? Mm-hmm. I will put on a powerbomb display for you. Whoa, right, of shit. Just throwing this kid around. And that is the one thing we do need to think about as we establish. And like, don't get me wrong, like, oh man, Greg's already picking his kid's finishing move. That's kind of too far. We'll give him a few to choose from. We won't just tell him what to do. But what you need to think about, of course, is that for as small as this kid is, right?
what you need to think about.
The power bomb is going to be a great finisher from me. Great finisher from me to do stuff to, Andy. But Hurricane Rana, remember, I'll be his only opponent for a long time, right? I am not capable of doing the somersault to land a Hurricane Rana appropriately. So we might actually be painting him into a corner there where all the move can only be reversed. Like there's no way I'm going through the motion of the
Hurricane Rana. Set him up for failure. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. You never take the. I can't do it, son. So you have to lose.
Yeah, I like the idea. Give him the RKO. You know, you just got to get his hops up so he can get up that height. Because the visual of this is amazing. The small little BJ just popping up there, grabbing you out of nowhere, and you would sell the hell out of that, Greg. Anytime, any place. Like those little tiny arms going around your neck, Greg's going down like a sack of potatoes, hard through whatever is in front of him, no matter what
Applebee's
type of
table. Full of mozzarella sticks.
Sure. Those sticks are going flying, man. But it's a good thing because of the Mott's Act, whatever it was. We ordered enough, so we Moss Mott's. There we go.
Tim, as the person who knows the most about wrestling here, to bounce off of me with this, I've been thinking a lot. Again, a lot of podcasts happening in my head, conversations and stuff. Do you think if I got my number got called up to do a bit at WWE, I get to do a bit at WWE in the ring, and then Brock Lesnar's music comes down, he comes down and he F5s me, right? I don't have to really do much in that situation, right? He's going to be able, obviously, to get me up and then throw me off, and then I just have to like stay out. You know what I mean? Like I just have to play dead.
What's the
I mean, I love that in your mind it's already beef with Brock Lesnar because you have the established rivalry. We'll be able to have the clips to like build it all up. It's gonna last 2 seconds, but it's gonna be really, really hype. The thing about the F5 is selling it is similar to the stunner, where you can just take it and it's gonna look violent no matter what. But then there's the people that really get into it and do the whole rock flop thing, right?
Yeah, I'm not too, and that's I fly too close to the sun on that. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But the thing with the F5 is there's two.
Can you show the F5? Nick was asking about it. I'm sure there's other people out there who don't know.
Me show it?
No, Kev. Can Kev?
Actually show it. I mean, I'm really upset that you got rid of fireman JJ to
throw off your shoulder.
Well, I'm sorry. One second. Too many things at one time. You're mad. What's going on here now?
The BBJJ. So, okay, for everyone that doesn't know, Nick and Andy, I'm not sure if you were part of this already, but Greg introduced, like, his return to Kind of Funny Content was Kind of Funny Gabe's Daily, and he decided to have his baby with him. Turns out it wasn't his baby. He fucking tosses it over his shoulder. It was just a dummy baby.
That was terrible.
I wanted to make this dummy baby part of the canon of Kind of Funny lore. So we're trying to come up with the name of it, and the best name I saw on Twitter was, in classic Kind of Funny fashion, what's Kevin's name? Kevin's kid name, Paula. What's Tim's kid name? Rimothy. It's always dumb shit. So what's BJ's little clone name? BBJJ is what was came up with.
I love it. I love it.
Where is he now? He's just gone?
No. So yeah, he's no, the fake baby is no, BBJJ is no longer down here because BBJJ's skin, BJ still wears. But BJ, of course, is growing at an alarming rate. So what the good news is, Tim, that we're probably maybe a month away from that thing. He's like a hermit crab. He's going to get out of that shell, and then we will have the BBJJ skin down here that will then constantly be here ready for us to do something with.
Greg, are you worried at all that old BBJJ will... Oh, that's the doll. That's a fake one, right?
Yeah, BJ's my real kid.
Are you worried at all that that your child will end up...
BJ's my real kid.
Will end up kind of being on pace to be like, oh wow, he's gonna be Greg Miller height. He's gonna be just like his daddy. Then immediately like stops at, you know, 5'4", like more like a gen 5'3". Are you worried about like any sort of pacing issues?
No. And the reason being there, of course, is that he is a gigantic baby. He is just huge. You know what I mean? Like when they pulled him out of gym, that was their first thing. It was like, this is a bit, they wanted
tracking
to see
to be a gigantic.
They were like,
one,
what's going on with this kid? Why won't he come out the normal way? Right. So when we, the C-section way, they brought him out, they were like, oh, that's why. And so then it's still like, it's, there's a little bit of astonishment from the pediatrician when we go in for these checkups, and she's like, she keeps so proudly turning the computer screen and showing on the graphs 90th percentile on all these different things he's in. So I don't see it petering off. And it's also that thing when people look at him, they're like, oh my God, 6-month-old baby, huh? We're like, no, he's not even 3 months yet. Like, holy shit. There was when we were at the farmer's market and Jen was still pregnant at one point, one of the ladies like, oh man, what, 2 weeks to go? She's like, no, 2 months. And they were like, oh my God, this baby's fucking big. And let me tell you, this guy eats. Woo-wee! He eats like his daddy. He shits like him too. But he is a big old baby. And I am not worried about it tapering off, but it could, I guess. You never know.
I was really, really excited about, like, maybe when you're in the doctor's office and the nurse is like, 98 percentile, and she just fucking punches him in the stomach, and you're like, whoa. And she's like, no, when they're above 90, they're indestructible. They're indestructible. Like, my fist hurts right now.
Yeah.
Are you at all concerned with the inverse of that, right? Which is that obviously when you have a child, you want more for your child than you had, right? You want that kid to go beyond you, but you really don't want it to go beyond you as far as height's concerned. I have to imagine, right? Like, you don't want a kid taller than you. What if this kid comes out, he's 6'5" and starts lifting, and by around 18, just starts fucking you up all the time. And you're like, this is fun.
Are you down to roughhouse, dad? Yeah.
Are you worried about this at all?
He's F5ing me in the target.
He's just F5ing
me in the target. Please stop. He's like, I'm the champion now.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, who needs a Hurricane Rana? He's just fucking destroying me. No, I'm not worried about that. I hope the best for him. I hope he's, you know, big. I hope, I mean, it's what you're saying too, of like, you know, he's jacked or whatever. Man. Save me. I've been looking for good cosplay, and clearly I'm never going to be in that shape, but he dresses like Superman, I dress like Fat Lex Luthor. There we go. We got something there. He dresses like Daredevil, I dress like Kingpin. We got something there.
Well,
Andy Cortez.
I texted you over the break, Greg, and if you remember several months ago at the beginning, it felt like a lifetime ago at the beginning of the quarantine, we did a bet with the lovely folks at Game Attack, who are now Hang Time. And we won the bet, and they sent you the gigantic Leviathan axe from God of War. And we said, Greg, you dress as Kratos, you get the white makeup, we do the whole cosplay thing. Andy, you will be, what's his face?
Atreus.
Love it.
I mean, Tim, this cosplay of Benny as Atreus, like, can you imagine how adorable this would be? His first Halloween. We gotta make this happen.
He was a Ghostbuster. Don't try to take that away from him. All right.
You know, like a really good character. Like,
oh wow,
something cool. Wow. You know.
Okay. I mean, honestly, anything to get this giant fucking axe out of my house. It's so big. It's so large, and I swear, every time I look at it, it gets just bigger and bigger. It's like Nick's worst nightmare. And I walk by. It's also heavy. It's like, it reminds me a lot, Greg. This is funny. We're bringing it up today of. The last time I held a giant axe,
the scythe,
whatever the hell it was, in the middle of the freaking park. Like, I'm pretty sure we launched that video like on the day we launched. Kind of funny.
Darksiders 2. They sent us a life size scythe that it was too big to unbox in the house, so we unboxed it in the park and then just tweeted out, "Does anybody want to come get this?" And we had to wait like an hour and a half.
The scythe had like a multiple like. Things coming because it's from a fucking video game, so these weapons have to be ridiculous. And I tried picking it up, but I'm a weak little mortal, and it like came back and stabbed me in the back, and I was like killing myself and going down. Oh god, I hope that video is not still live.
It's well, definitely
still live for sure. Yeah. No, why would we have taken that? Forever. Please, you kidding me? My favorite memory of that one. Right, it's funny again, like you're saying, it's 7 years later because it was definitely, I don't know if it was day one, but it was week one. Like, we were brand new out on our own or whatever, and I remember you and me having this stupid life-size axe, and it was in the giant box, the giant casket, and so we had to walk it into the park, and it must have been Nick, I guess, because Kevin wasn't with us yet. Filming it, and so we thought, because it's already so ridiculous how big this stupid thing is, there's Kevin showing it, we might as well film how ridiculous it is to get it out into the real world. And Nick was filming us walk it through the streets of San Francisco across Lincoln into the Golden Gate Park. So it's a super busy street. And I remember being halfway through the crosswalk and we looked and there was Christine and my ex, Christine Steinberg, What's Good Games, and my ex-girlfriend, but who lived with us at the time, sitting there in her car, just like, oh God, like, here are these fucking idiots who just quit their job and they're dragging this thing through the fucking streets of San Francisco filming it. And it was like, this is life now. This is what this is going to be now.
This has 342,000 views.
Yeah.
I told you we shouldn't stop doing unboxings. You know, you didn't listen to me.
Look at that thing. Look at that thing.
I'd be so mad if that box appeared at my tiny apartment. I would be so pissed.
Look, I start stabbing myself.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't get out of it.
Yeah.
God, Tim, lift something.
You got a fulcrum in.
Yo, this thing was like 400 pounds.
Look at it, just not 400. It just collapses under
400.
No, it was, because I remember lifting the thing too. It wasn't that it was super crazy heavy. It was just, it was cumbersome because all the weight was balanced in the back of it. So like that, the actual like stick portion of it needed to be longer to accommodate how far out the sickle goes. But I do remember that kid being like this, "Hey, what's up?" And we threw the bag of car and he's like, "All right," and then just left. He did that much. He was like, "I want to hang out with you guys." He sold that for so much money.
Tim, Tim, don't feel bad, Tim. I had a kind of a moment flying over here, where I'm lifting my luggage, and I see like, oh yeah, it's 50 pound weight limit. Gotta be careful, Andy. And I'm lifting my thing. I was like, this is really fucking heavy, but like, I don't think it's 50 pounds. I think I'm good. Right, like I'm struggling picking this up, so like maybe I'm kind of worried. Maybe I'm teetering on the edge.
18 pounds.
And I put it on the thing. It was like 31. I was like, "Oh my god, I have plenty of wiggle room on this one." That was the flight that I missed. By the way, unfortunately, just ran into a snafu. Had a missed flight. Ended up spending about $100 in Uber fees. I'm worried about parking at an airport. The whole process really terrifies me. What if I don't never get my car back, Nick? You know, what if they claim it?
Finders Andy, keepers. That gets really expensive. I found out that if it's more than like 5 days, you're kind of fucked.
Oh, but really? Yeah, no, I'd be so screwed if I tried that. Because like, again, it's like a $45 Uber back and forth.
Yeah.
And waiting at the airport and being there and they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna have to reschedule," and I'm just like, "Oh no, what do I?" And then the thing I worried about the most, explaining this to my dad, oh my god, there's gonna be so many questions that I just
don't... What happened? You missed the flight, or because one of your flights got canceled? I know, but that was where you are now, right?
Yeah, but on the way over here I missed my flight. I missed my flight down, hit some bad traffic, and I got there and they had already cut off the check bag thing.
Gotcha, they wouldn't let me check the bag.
Even though, Greg, I have like 40 minutes until the flight even leaves. Booking or boarding just started. Get out of my face with this.
Andy,
dude.
Did you try being like, "Hey, can you just send it on the next flight?"
I tried. I tried being like, "Hey, what? Can you just leave this bag here?"
Listen, I just store it for me.
I'll pick it back. I don't need it, you know? I can come back and get it. And they just told me no at every turn. Like, it was so disappointing. I was like, "Do you know who the fuck I am? Okay, I'm in group two."
Wow. You're like, "I'm Nitro Rifle." They're like, "Well, we're definitely not letting you leave a bag here now." Is that like a terrorist name? Are you a supervillain?
All of that sounds bad. All of that sounds like an FCC nightmare. FDA. No? FAA.
FAA.
That's
we're friends at the FAA.
Greg, I was going to ask you, sleep-wise, what are we talking? What's your schedule like now that you're kind of back in the swing of things? And what was it like when it was at its worst?
Sure, and this actually plays into a question from patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can write it to be part of the show. Madeline, aka Matt Exposure, said, "Welcome back, Greg. Just curious, what is the one thing about paternity leave / becoming a father that was majorly different than you expected it to be?" I'm gonna answer that question from patreon.com/kindoffunny right after you hear these ads. Of course, you wouldn't have to listen if you were live on patreon.com/kindoffunny, or if you were just listening to the version we put up on patreon.com/kindoffunny, but you aren't, so here you go, the ads.
There's so much going on right now, whether it's stuff you're excited about, like traveling, or stuff you'd rather avoid, like traffic. You can't always control the vibes out there, but you can control the vibes in your own head when you've got a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears. With Raycon's new everyday earbuds, they look, feel, and sound better than ever. One of my best friends, James Burke, he loves these things. He's always out there when he's running, when he's playing his baseball. He's a baseball coach, so he does a lot of those two things. And Raycon's new everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. They've got an improved rubber oil look and feel and optimized gel tips for a perfect in-ear fit. Plus, you get 3 new sound profiles, so the sound is great no matter what you're listening to, whether it's a podcast like this one, or some hip-hop, or some rock, or anything in between. Right now, Kinda Funny listeners, you can get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/kindoffunny. That's buyraycon.com/kindoffunny to save 15% on Raycons. buyraycon.com/kindoffunny. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like leaving your keys in your car while you run into the gas station. You're probably fine, but it could be a disaster. And every time you connect to an unencrypted network, you're basically giving someone else the keys to your personal data, like your passwords, your financial details, the passwords to your financial life. And it doesn't even take much technical knowledge for someone to hack you. But ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your data and the world that it'd take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past. Plus, it's super easy to use. You just open the app and press a single button. I've been using it. Kind of funny, he's been using it. It's keeping our internet safe. And I love that. I love it so much. I love how easy it is to use. And I love that I just don't even need to worry about it. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. And you can get an extra 3 months for free by going to expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. Funny. What would it feel like if we were finally free of high interest loans or credit card debt? Well, Upstart can help you make that final payment so you can get ahead. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether you're looking to pay off credit cards, consolidate high interest debt, or fund some personal expenses, Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date. Rather than looking only at your credit score, Upstart considers other factors like your income, current employment, and credit history to find you a smarter rate. One of my really good friends did exactly this, and it helped him out so much. Just consolidating all of his debt into one place allowed him to focus and just take care of it. And now he's debt free thanks to Upstart. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today. And when you go to upstart.com/kindoffunny, that's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Upstart.com/kindoffunny.
All right. So Madeline's question is, what's the, you know, the thing that I didn't expect or that was majorly different, right? And Andy, it plays into your thing where it is the fact that, you know, everyone tells you, and you obviously understand it too, of like, oh, this is gonna be the most tired you've ever been. Oh, it's gonna be the most tired you've ever been when you have a kid and you get into these first few months of it and stuff like that. And so in my head, what that meant for me was like, okay, cool. Like, it's going to be like E3. It's going to be like E3 where you're exhausted. You got maybe 2 hours of sleep because you worked all day, then you partied, and then you're going to the thing, and like you're running on
three hours a night.
And it wasn't that at all. Like, and it's so many things I've found so far about parenthood are the same. Where it, and it sounds like a lame cop out, I think, but it's like one of those things that you can't describe it. Like, it's one of you have to be in the shit to really understand it or be through it or whatever. But like, the tired thing wasn't the, okay, cool, I'm so tired from being up all night. It was the, I'm tired from constantly being on high alert. I am so tired from being on high fucking alert. And like, that was at the hospital where it would be like, all right, cool. Like, we were just on no schedule whatsoever because, of course, like, after Benjamin was born and you're in the recovery stuff, like, you know, nurses and doctors come in at all hours. They're making the rounds, doing their thing. So it would be of like, I'm sleeping in like an hour in the afternoon between visits, and then we're up in the middle of the night and back and forth like that. But even getting home then, it was the same thing of trying to figure out not only what Benjamin's schedule was going to be and what he was going to give us for sleep, then the idea that, cool, now you've added this kid to the mix, and obviously the whole point is to take care of it and keep it alive and do all these things, right?
That's what they say.
Exactly. But like, even thinking about that ahead of it, Jen and I had been very much like, okay, cool, like, well, we're obviously a partnership. Obviously, we're a tag team. Obviously, you know, even if you, when you're, you can breastfeed them and then pass them off to me for burps, then you can take a shower and you could do this chore and yep, or you can watch, you know, take a walk or whatever, blah, blah. And then the fact that none of that worked out the way we thought it was going to work out, where it was that even when Jen's feeding Benjamin, I'm there getting ready to burp him. So it's not like I can break away to go do any intense chore. When Jen passes Benjamin back to me or whatever, she can go get whatever done. But then there's like three other things that before the thing you wanted to do that you were going to go do. The thing I've been trying to, you know, put into words, I guess, is I knew we'd talk about it eventually, but like, when we started Kind of Funny 7 years ago, right, the conversation I know I talked about some and had on so many podcasts was, you know, at IGN, I was the goalie. Nothing got by. Every email got answered. Every PSN message got answered. I was, you know, I could kick it. If you wanted to come show your game, even if I wasn't going to see it, I could get you to McCaffrey. I could get you to Damon. There'd be somebody there to go do the thing with. And when we started Kind of Funny, I had to get used to closing the computer at the end of the night and having unread emails and having things I didn't get back to and having projects we said no to that I wouldn't have said no to at IGN. that then it became life, and you know, being life of a small business. Sure. For me now with Benjamin, it's this idea that I accomplish nothing all the time, where like the most mundane task, exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Where it's like the only goal in these first things is making sure he's alive and taken care of and happy and diapered and fed and all that stuff. And so you accomplish that, but it means that just nothing else gets done. Like in the same way, 7 years ago, I joked around about like, oh man, yeah, you know, I was so stupid and naive. Like, you know, when we started Kind of Funny, I made jokes about like, I'm gonna take naps during the day, we're gonna do a let's play every afternoon and stream every day and yada yada, and like all that shit fell apart. It was a harsh dose of reality. It was the same thing here of, oh man, paternity leave, 3 months off, in quotes, 3 months off of work, I'm going to pull together the tool shed. I had just been dropping shit in there since we moved, and I was like, I'm gonna go in there and put up nails and hang things, and like that tool shed's more out of control than ever. But like, that's a big thing, right? You can extend it out to like the dishes. Like, you know, I feel like I had to start wrapping my head around like these days that like I have one chore that can be the objective and I'm not going to get it done. I'll be lucky to get 25% of it done in terms of hanging a shelf on the wall. Or like, I made a joke the other day to Tim, and I don't think we were on air, I forget, but like, I have a new chair from Razor, right? And it was this thing that for 3 months it sat down here. Sunday morning I was like, I gotta fucking get it done, I'm on show Monday.
But I just love that you phrased it to be like, dude, I had an emergency chair situation. I'm like, chair what emergency. The hell does that mean? Yeah.
And it was that Sunday morning I started building this fucking chair, and that meant that Sunday night at 11:45, fucking blurry eyed exhausted, I was like, I gotta finish this chair. And again, the chair's not hard. It's not like this is something, and a normal day I would have been done in the 20-30 minutes it would have taken to put it together. But it's this constant thing of there is always another chore that leads to another chore. But then it is the fact of like, okay, cool, Jen's gonna take Benjamin, Jen's gonna breastfeed Benjamin, I can't walk away because I need a burp, but even if I could, Jen needs a glass of water or whatever. It's almost like we thought it would be passing batons, but it's actually you're passing 25%, if not 50%, of your mind share to that other person. Because it is suddenly like, even when Jen passes me Benjamin for a nap or whatever, cool, and like we let him nap on the chest, which we're trying to get out of now, but him napping on my chest becomes cool, I'm off the board.
Why is that?
Because obviously he passes me and he naps on me, cool, I'm off the board for an hour and a half, maybe 15 minutes, maybe 2 hours, whatever it's going
to
be.
As opposed to putting him down and having
exactly,
him
I can't like leave, I can't walk off, I can't get this, we can't watch TV, I can't answer an email, I can't help you cut a check for healthcare or something like that. It's like, you suddenly become, you have to help the other person. And so, yeah.
I thought it was like a danger thing. Like, because we all know Greg's pectoral muscles could crush like at random moments. You know?
Oh, yeah. See, I thought you guys were putting him on here as like a rice buddy because he's warm and like you have like a sore muscle on your shoulder.
Sure,
and you're,
over there. There is that to it. There is that part of it, how warm, adorable he is.
Little neck
stuff,
pillow.
But, yeah. So it's been, you know, it was, I've told, I think, each one of you individually, or at least it's a blur, right? But like, this was the fastest 3 months of my life. Like this thing flew the fuck by. And it, like, that's, I can't, that was so weird about me being excited about coming back to work. And it would be like, oh, but like life's moved on for all you guys. And I listened to it. Like I engaged with the content, but it was like, and our lives always move fast. But like those days were just blinks of the eye, just gone, gone, gone. And it would always be that annoying thing of like, I'm just trying to get to the hardware store to get fucking weatherproofing shit, you know what I mean? And that would be something that would stretch on forever. The taking down the Christmas tree was it took us like 4 days or whatever, because there's all these little things of like, all right, cool, he is down for a nap, which is great, but we can't make a lot of noise, so you can't do this kind of thing, right? You can't run the vacuum to pick up the pine needles to do the, you know, there's always these complications to everything that did it. So the schedule when I was off, and you know, Jen and I were both on leave, was completely around Benjamin. Like you can't get a baby on a real schedule that early, as you feel it out and go, you know, this is something that I know we will pay for at some point soon, probably. But like, we are incredibly blessed, and we kept telling people this, and they finally were like, don't stop telling people that, because it annoys other parents. But like, Benjamin has been the easiest baby. Like he eats a ton, he sleeps a ton. Like I would say maybe just the first few weeks had like the, cool, we put him down and then he wakes up at midnight. We put him down and he wakes up at 3:30. We put him down and he wakes up at 5:30. Now we put him down like between 9 and 10, and then he'll sleep till 6 o'clock in the morning now. So like we're getting full night sleep.
That's pretty amazing.
And that was something that was happening like in the first month, like that kind of thing. Maybe not that long. I think we, for a while, were doing like 9 or 10 and then getting a wake up around 3, but then letting us sleep till 6 or 7 or whatever. Like, he's like, we have friends who just had a baby and they are getting it like the every 15 fucking minutes they're getting woken up and they have to run things and they're doing all these different things. Like, Ben hasn't been that. We've been incredibly lucky on that front. But even that, like, okay, cool, it's still high alert all the time, everything else. So it's like this emotional, mental exhaustion that also gets you on top of the physical exhaustion, on top of, like, you know, trying to put him down and just walking back and forth with him and having lights off, but you're exhausted. Your back, my back, Jen's back hurts so much from carrying this kid around. Yeah, Andy.
Greg, it sounds like you want a part of your life back. Okay. And what I can say is that I know somebody who's really good at building things. He's on this podcast right now. His name is Kevin Coella.
Sure.
I say we go to Guitar Center. We get a gigantic roadie case where you hold like a bunch of like sound equipment. Gigantic roadie case. It is super insulated. It's lined. We soundproof the fuck out of it. Andy, how's Benjamin going to breathe in there? Little oxygen mask, okay? Yeah, it's lined in there somewhere. He can like grab that thing, take a little hit of it, whatever.
He can put it on himself.
That's important. Yeah, I want him to have control of it.
Maybe we put a little TV in there too, so if he wants to watch some Netflix or whatever.
Sure. Parental control, of course. We'll put the
LG announced 42-inch OLEDs, the smallest they've done so far. So we got to make sure this thing's at least 42 inches and we'll be good.
You can line that thing in there as well. Beverages. I'm just talking like we kit this thing the fuck out. Kevin will help me build it. It'll just mostly be Kevin building it. But it'll be a fun project.
In fact, I won't even be there.
There it is. Oxygen mask. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you.
They need to make it bigger, though. This is a big kid, remember.
Greg, you can put this Christmas tree up whenever you want to, sure, my dude. Sure. You put Benjamin in there, maybe like on one of those rock. Kevin, can you build a rocker thing kind of like to keep it rocking and have some sort of movement? But while he's in. While he's in there, Greg, you could do whatever the hell you want around the house, dude. You could podcast.
That's the thing is like so much of it is as well. He sleeps through just about everything. Like, again, like Jen, I think, put up a Twitter post about it, joking around on the Games Daily where I was down here screaming of like, he slept straight through that. And of course he would, because I didn't quiet myself when he was in utero. Like he came to life only knowing his father screaming. So like, it's more the fear of it where we not that you struggle, but putting him down, like the hard part is, and why he ends up sleeping on our chest for the thing is like taking him, then putting him into the snoo. Like that motion of bringing him down is like that dream we all have where you're falling, you startle awake, right? Because it feels like you're falling, like Inception. Like he really is being moved, right? So the, you know, organics of his brain, right? All these like survival mechanisms pop off. So like there's just such a thing of when you finally get him down successfully and tied up in the snoo, it's this moment of like, I know I could probably be louder than this, but God damn it, I don't want to. Like, I don't want to risk it. Like, you know, walking around the house doesn't wake him up, but I still walk gingerly around the house because it's like, I don't want to fuck this up. I don't want to be the
Miller
reason.
Greg Miller Grinching it.
Totally. Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like, right? Of these squeaky floorboards as I walk all around doing this stuff.
Kevin, new hardware opportunity. Scrap the last idea I just had, okay? Brand new opportunity right here. You know a gimbal, right?
Yeah.
Greg, you know gimbals?
Yeah, I know gimbal.
We rig some sort of hardware that we can lay Benjamin in, kind of like maybe it's rigged on your shoulders and Benjamin is floating above you or kind of in front of you. It's almost it's similar to the backpack type thing, you know, when the baby's on your chest. What was that, Tim?
Death Stranding.
Yeah, Death Stranding. What the fuck?
Yeah. Holy shit.
No way.
I love the internet.
If you weren't all my idea, exactly what Andy's describing is being shown right now.
How much does this
fucking thing cost?
No, this is a camera. This is a camera.
Oh, there's retrofit. I see. Okay.
That is literally so I don't know if you guys ever saw Aliens, but like that's very close to the rig they used for the smart guns in Aliens, which were just like modified Steadicam rigs back in the day. That's pretty cool.
God damn,
she's looking fabulous. Good for her, living her best life.
$1 million opportunity.
I was putting my
steady kit glide carry
$273. Buy that right
easy.
Now.
Whoa, just 17 easy payments of $200.
This is a year and a half of your life.
No, there's no way this is fake. Bring it up again, Greg Miller. I need you to call this number right now. No,
the number has three O's in it.
1-800.
Well, okay, so like I wasn't necessarily going for this. I was going for basically the portable snoo to where you can have Benjamin in there rocking around without any, and Greg can move around, do whatever he wants, and Benjamin is still super still.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it, I'm pissed off about this.
This call may be recorded for quality assurance.
Oh no, is it real?
We have a special promotion today for select callers. If you are over 50, please press 1
you're
now.
You're getting hacked right if now. Not,
yeah, this isn't.
You're getting hacked.
I think it's real.
It too.
Oh, sorry.
If you are over 50, please
thank you for your help with our survey.
You motherfucker.
Yep, you just voted for Trump.
Hang on, walk away.
Stop the steal.
Damn it, man. All my ideas getting robbed. All right, Kevin, back to the first idea. Let's get that big Rode amp case.
Now, I just want to point out, so just, Andy, just this so is a great idea.
The first idea from Quiet Place.
Quiet Place.
Right?
Now,
really? I've never seen the movie. I don't watch scary movies, Kevin.
Oh, wow.
Wait, okay, that is actually really funny. Yeah, that is actually. Greg kept saying "Quiet Place," and you just kept excited. But yeah, that is exactly what happened.
Wait, where did you think we? Did you not see the image that I pulled up? Hold on. Oh,
well, he said oxygen mask. I don't think he actually noticed that was a still from
The
Quiet
Place.
Oh,
that's so funny.
No, I just thought you googled an image.
Andy, the kid, the baby is in a box that is all quiet.
Is that the Quiet Place?
Uh huh.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, sure.
We really are that's the last of us.
That's why they called it that. Damn it, I didn't know that. All these people are stealing my ideas.
Andy, I do want to point out that, like, I love the idea. And I'm sure it can be acoustically treated. But the road case is not to keep the equipment inside from hearing what's happening outside of the road case. Hmm. The road case just is built so
insulated.
That the equipment doesn't break.
He said inside.
Yeah, I know. Well, just, in my brain, I'm like, does Andy think that road cases are just for quiet places for people to sit in?
I was saying, like, maybe we line it with extra stuff. Yeah, you know what I mean? We line it with a bit more than just that. Some blankets as well, Greg. Maybe some sort of prosthetic. Maybe we get Weta Digital to do a prosthetic of Greg's chest and have Benjamin lay on the fake Greg's chest.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Same hair. We do a hair transplant. We get like a lot of the pheromone kind of scent. So it feels like, oh, this is my father. And I'm sleeping
on
my father's chest.
Who's in charge of getting Greg's pheromones?
You know what? I'll do it.
23andMe.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you. I'll do it.
You guys.
That means a lot to me. Thank you.
I've missed Greg a lot, and Kevin will not let me get his pheromones. He's made that abundantly clear through his many legal notices to me. Greg, you and me, done. You have to go through the aim.
What are you going to say? Whatever the hell are you going to say? I hate just even seeing your fingers doing the motion like, God damn. I love having us all back together. This is fantastic.
I was like, don't say it. Don't say it.
Don't even engage with this.
What's funny is I knew the term was anal glands because I remember dogs have to have those things.
Said it.
Yeah.
No, Greg said it before me. He opened the door. Your Honor.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Tim, Your Honor, he opened the door.
We have a vet tech come over here about once a month and express Portillo's anal glands.
You don't have to walk through it,
do you, really?
He opened the door, but you don't have to walk through it.
But for a second, I thought anal glands, and then I thought to myself, don't say that. Say something that's like shocking, but not that shocking. And piss sack almost came out.
Jesus Christ.
Oh,
and I was like, no.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I swerved and I saw a pole over there, and I was like, oh no, that's not good. And I came back this way. I lost it.
Would that be his bladder?
No, I think there's an I think it's some sort of weird little piss sack thing that my brother said one time.
I don't think so. I think that's
anal, you're thinking bladder. Of anal gland, yeah.
Is it the anal gland?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm Googling piss sack. It doesn't look good.
Google piss sack and see what...
No, don't Google piss sack.
Dog piss sack.
My God.
That's not even a term. That's not even a term.
No, and I'm just getting pee pads. Yeah, I'm probably wrong. I'm actually happy I'm wrong on this one. I'm glad there's something.
Shocking.
Oh, it's a urinage drainage bag. So, like, it's the little bag they put on you when they put the catheter in, right? That would be the piss sack.
Sure, but I don't think that's the official fucking name of it.
No, but, like,
that
if
would
it's
be
not
if
your
bladder. You said piss sack.
Like, let's just say, like, if you're walking around and you've got one of those things, someone's going to point and be like, what's up with that piss sack you got there?
Oh,
right?
God. Oh, what's wrong with me?
I don't know if they would.
I don't know.
I mean, some people would.
Oh,
for sure.
Man.
I'm
welcome
sorry,
back
audio
to the
listeners.
Kind of Funny Podcast.
Kev, did you ever bring up the picture that Andy sent? Because I would appreciate
what picture
do we have finalized, Nick?
If his hard work would be respected.
Oh, I'm sorry. Really. I didn't. Wait, that's what really took you so long, Andy?
Oh, I sent it a long time ago, Kevin. Sent it a long time ago, big
yeah, pop. But even the, yeah, I was moving a car really quick.
There was a moment where we were doing something a while back, and I was like, Kevin is that's being abnormally quiet for what we're talking about. And there it is. There it is. He's moving
very quickly, very quickly. Sure. We're going to lose a spot. We're going to lose a spot. Joey wasn't quick enough. I had to act.
I love that he goes, this is what took you so long? And I said, well, I said it a long time ago. Well, I was moving a car.
I just want to point out.
You made me spit up water everywhere, Andy. You made me spit up water everywhere.
That's, I mean, it's, yeah, it's, it is the hat on it. It is it's, the beanie
but
on
it's
it.
It's also,
you know,
the nose a little bit. Like, it really, it feels
oh, no,
like
no, 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 no. I think even with, I just meant that's, Andy took the image and put the hat on it. I'm expecting, this is kind of like, and I love you, Andy. You do great work. You're an amazing person. This is kind of like when Luke Skywalker shows up in The Mandalorian and then, like, once it goes live and then a bunch of fans make better ones. Like, fans are going to make ones that have Nick's eyes in here. They're going to do the thing where they blend in the beard and the nose a bit.
Oh,
yeah,
it's
it needs the Muppet googly eyes. So if people are out there and I just want to see what the Muppet googly eyes look like on this, and I don't think it does
because you have smaller eyes, Nick, and we've seen plenty of Muppets out there that don't have the eyes.
Yeah, like Jan. Like Jan doesn't have eyes, right?
Right.
Yeah, there's kind of a dark spot right here. You see that right here? A little bit of a dark spot that kind of, I feel like
should I get
you
that
see
checked
it. Out? You see that
it's
right
kind of like immediately I think of the dad character who's got that little pet. He's got the little cat in Bruno. No, what's the movie? Pixar movie.
Luca.
He reminds me of the dad in Luca. Luca dad.
Oh. Luca dad. Is it because you couldn't see the dad's eyes? Is that why he reminds
you
of that?
Yeah, that's exactly why, Kevin. Yeah.
I can't believe that Tim saw this image
and
thought, Nick, but
I see it now, though.
Now that you see it,
I'll tell you guys, when I saw this, I had a moment where I had multiple moments. I'm going to be real. First thought was, I'm crazy.
It's so
second
clear.
Thought is, I shouldn't be taking pictures of people.
No,
third,
this is
third
perfect.
Thought is, I was like, I don't, I, now that I have this picture, I think I showed Joey. I think Joey came over during the break, and I was like, is this a story worth telling? Because I'm not sure. Like, am I fucking crazy? And I don't, like, this is just, look at this.
I actually think it looks more like me without the beanie, because it has that sort of, like my hair gets kind of flat sometimes, like it is right now, and you can sort of see
the
scalp
sad
a little
hair.
Bit. So you see how, like, right here on the right side, there's that little tiny part that's happening right there, and I have my hair parted right there, too. And it's like, Andy, it's like the hair is thick, but it's just not thick enough, and it's not volume enough, and it just makes me hate life.
You're
every
so
time I see
weird.
It.
It's perfect. I misunderstood a lot of what was happening here. I thought that Tim took a photo and happened to see this in the photo.
No, he saw this.
But
in
you
real
took
life
a photo because of this.
Mm-hmm. That's wild.
Got it. Got
Tim,
it. Got
Tim
it,
missed
got
me.
It.
Tim misses me. He doesn't like being apart from me for longer than a day. Unlike Greg, who left me for 3 months and then came back. And the first thing he said to me, you guys want to know the first thing he said? I'm on a meeting with Snowbike Mike this morning. And the first thing Greg said all year is he just comes and he goes, wah! And then he left. I was like, God damn it, Craig.
That's to let you know he's back.
We were on a podcast together Monday. How's this the first thing I've said to you?
Craig just wants to assert his dominance.
And the real story there goes that I came in. I was like, oh, good. Nick's hanging out with Mike, getting ready for the stream me and Mike are about to do. And I came in, ooh, ah, and then it was just silence. And I was like, oh, this is a real meeting. And I was like, sorry, Nick. And he's like, no, I'm doing a business thing here with Mike. And I was like, I'm going to go. Bye, guys.
Random idea. I say we make a conference room as one of these meetings.
That people can meet and talk
and no one else jumps in.
That's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
Or we make a room, but we should name the conference room. Come on in.
No, because then we have a guest and they're like, oh, where should I go?
Zone.
Waiting room, live one, live two, or come on in. Oh,
yeah,
okay. Okay, I'll go put there.
Put a third one on there that says, this is definitely the room. This is the room you're looking for.
This is the one. Please come.
Created conference room. Conference room is created.
Thank you.
Kevin, I've But I've for got Nick, a lot for, of.
Oh, Joey, join the conference room.
I've got a lot of curiosities, Kevin, when it comes to your trip. But we'll. Greg, go ahead and tell us what you're about to do right now, because I'm sure it's going to be wild.
I'm also making a channel called The Max.
No, let's let's not play around.
I'm calling it The Max, and no. I'm doing
what's
it.
What's that one for, Greg?
It's well, I'm glad you asked. The inspiration, of course, is The Max from Saved by the Bell, where people can just hang out with each other. But I understand that not everybody has the encyclopedic knowledge of Saved by the Bell like I do. So I put The Max (). The place to chillax.
That's the waiting room. That's the waiting room. We don't
need
to make
that. No, the waiting room is like you show up.
Greg, I'm gonna get rid of that room. I'm getting rid of that room, and I'm also removing your powers.
When waiting room is like I'm gonna spend money.
You're in waiting room. You're getting you know you're gonna be pulled into a show. You're gonna be pulled into
that's
a show.
Like the green room, right? You're on
conference room. You know you're being reprimanded by HR.
You're winning me over. Should I give you your powers back?
The Max is like the place to chillax. You know what I mean?
I like it.
It's funny because
I
think The Max and I think that HBO cartoon that was hyper violent. Wasn't that
The Max, wasn't that originally on MTV?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Sounds like something like with Eon Flux.
Sure. Andy,
again if you need to.
No, it's fine. I see you're bored with my stories of being a dad. That's fine. You want to hear about Kevin fucking going to somewhere. What do you want to do?
Well, I mean, you know, your kid learned.
Why'd you turn into Tom Hardy right there, Andy?
Mrs. Chat would do a blackmail. Well, because Kevin's adventure had me really intrigued. And it was the most sort of like, this is something that would happen to Kevin. And this Kevin would respond exactly in this way. And I want to hear more about it.
Can I kick this story off before Kevin does? Because I come at this from a different perspective. As you guys know, I don't really know what happens to Kevin when he leaves kind of funny.
No, because, this is true. There's a good reason for this, and it's his fault.
Kevin has blocked me on Instagram, and we're at a stalemate right now.
Oh, right.
We're at an armistice. A blockade, if you will. Kevin,
every
will not
time I
me.
Consider unblocking him, he insults me and calls me a Slytherin.
I just refuse to stop calling him Slytherin. It's a dumb joke, but it's a hill that I am willing to die on. Uh-huh. But Kevin also texts me stuff. We text each other goofy stuff all the time. And mostly TikToks. But the other night, he texts me. Go ahead.
I can also take an aside here, what I'd like to point out for Nick's aside is that I know that Nick is blocked by Kevin. And so when Kevin does something crazy or something outrageous happens in his life, I screenshot it and send it to Nick. Thank
please,
you, Nick.
And thank you. Yes. Case in point, a few days before this happened, Greg sent me a picture of Kevin in ski overalls with a Mickey Mouse shirt and goggles that were the size of his head.
Greg, I want you to know that I also screenshotted it.
You guys, you guys remember I wore these goggles to work when I got them.
Why are you standing like that?
That was a funny way to stand.
And again, to be clear, like, this isn't me. You, Kevin, you know how much
you're
I love that photo.
You're standing like
you're
going
everything.
Fast.
But it's like,
I thought it'd be a funny way to pose, and I think I nailed it. I looked
you
at that
fucking
photo,
nailed it.
And I was like, yep, it's perfect. Like, the pants are pulled up way higher than they ever would be. Way higher than they ever would be.
Oh my God.
So here's the deal. I know that Kevin's skiing, I think. I'm like, oh, Kevin maybe is going on a ski trip during I'm thinking, we live close to Lake Tahoe for people who don't know where California is. That's where Mike is, a few hours away. Kevin's gone up there before. Mm-hmm. I assume Kevin's in Lake Tahoe, right? Then I get a text at like, I think it was like 11:30-ish, 11:45-ish. Dana White just sent me a bottle of Dom Perignon with a video that is a perfectly cut TikTok style video where it's Kevin and all his family celebrating at a table and it with a bottle in the middle and it pans over and it just zooms in just enough to see a very large bald white dude, but I can't tell if it's Dana White or not because it cuts right off. It just stops.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I think Kevin's fucking with me right now, because what would Dana White be doing in Tahoe unless maybe like they're there? I was so fundamentally confused, but then I'm like, LOL, that's awesome. That guy looks like Dana White. .. Kevin texts back. That is Dana White. And then a picture of Kevin with Dana White. and the fuzzy navel that Kevin sent back to Dana White that night for sending him like a $200 bottle of Dom Perignon.
I may have been really drunk, and also Dana White is extremely muscular. I could not touch his chest.
Yeah.
Kevin, you look like you were in love with this man. Like, you look like you're just like you a proud mother.
I felt so safe when he held me. I'm so happy.
When you sent me this photo, that was my question of like, did he tell you to touch his chest? Did you do it on your own? Did he care?
He didn't care. He didn't care. He was fine. I had mentioned we sent back the fuzzy navel and he started laughing pretty hard. So
I missed all of this. That is fantastic. I saw the picture of Kevin in the overalls, but I did not know the Dana thing.
Tim, we were sitting at this hotel lobby. It was like 8 o'clock.
Tell me where you were, if you're comfortable with that.
At Jackson Hole, Wyoming. We did a family reunion, and we were doing some skiing, you know, fun stuff. It was impossibly hard to get to this place, impossibly hard.
And that's what I'm saying. And Kevin kind of has this confusion as to like, what do you mean, Andy? Why would you say that about me and my trip? And it's like,
what aspect of it?
Oh, sure. Like, New Year's, there was a lot of issues with traveling. There was a lot of issues with flights getting canceled because a lot of attendants had Omicron, and it was just a disaster, which is why I'm still here, and I actually fly back tomorrow. But Kevin's flight is canceled, and he's posted about it. I'm like, damn, that's such a bummer. And then the very, very next Instagram story says, we're not letting canceled flights stop us. And you are like driving somewhere. I'm like, where is this psychopath driving?
So what happened is we briefly entertained the idea of us driving the 19 hours to Wyoming. And very quickly, people were like, no, we're not doing that. And I was like, okay, good enough. Me and my father-in-law, very enthusiastic about getting to this place. So then we try to find other tickets because like our flight got canceled morning of like 30 minutes, like as we were ordering the Uber, we get a notification,
Jesus,
your flight's canceled. Yeah. So it was like, fuck, what do we do? So we spent the entire day almost till, probably 3 o'clock trying to figure out what we were going to do next. We almost gave up like 4 times. I was like, I had boarded Cecil the night before and I multiple times was like, should I go get him? Should I go get Cecil? Like, is this over? But, eventually, we ended up trying to book a flight to Salt Lake City, which is 5 hours south of Jackson. And we're like, okay, we'll rent a car and then drop it off in Salt Lake or Jackson. And you can't rent a car that way. When you go to rent a car, they're like, no, we want you to drop it off the same place you dropped it off. And it's like, all right, I guess we will drive or we'll fly to Salt Lake City.
Just in your voice. All right, I guess.
And drive 5 hours to Jackson, hang out there for 5 days, then drive 5 hours back to Salt Lake City.
That sounds so crazy because immediately that makes me go, Kevin, like, who's to say the other flights won't get canceled as well? Like, I felt so lucky, Andy, that I didn't get stranded in Houston. Like,
you're 100% right.
Big time.
You're 100% right. And that's why that was the only option that worked. Everything else was like, oh, there's two different flights. And I'm like, anything we need to do, it has to be a direct flight to whatever our destination is. And there's a lot of consequences that come from making this decision. Specifically, we land in Salt Lake City. What's going on? It is snowing a lot. And it's like, well, what do we do? We don't have a hotel. It's 8 o'clock now at the time that we landed. What are we? You know what? I'm sorry. It was 10 o'clock. And it was like, well, what are we going to do? Well, we got to figure out. Let's just go and see what's going on with the cars. Oh, we have our car and it's a Camry. And it has all weather tires.
I hear that
no
Camrys
chains.
Are great in the snow.
It's a purpose vehicle.
Nick, there's a lot of steps and conversations that are happening where it's like, are we going to drive with this camera? We start driving 2 minutes out. 2 minutes out, we're like, uh-oh, we're on the freeway, and there is no headlights working. And it's like, okay, let's pull over on the side of the freeway. Oh, they're just covered in snow. You gotta wick the snow off. Cool, no big deal. Also, the first car that we got was stolen or had license plates that were changed out. So, like, we went to like, leave the thing, and the guy was like, that's not the right car. And it's like, it was in the spot. It had different license plate on it. They had put on there. No idea why. Who knows? Whatever. We switched cars. So then we drive for like 2 hours. We're the only car on the road.
Who did you rent through, if you don't mind me asking?
Avis.
Okay. Because I read an article about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago that said Hertz was like in trouble for doing, for like when they couldn't find cars, they just reported them stolen and people were getting arrested.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's funny. It was a class action lawsuit that happened.
That kind of makes sense in the sense that they haven't gotten the car returned, right?
Yeah, but there were instances apparently that where people reported having returned the car and they lost the paperwork, or they called in and said, "Hey, I need to extend. I'd like to extend the rental of this car," and the person on this like took their payment and goes, "You're good, no problem," and then ran it later and it got declined. And instead of calling back the client, they were like, "We don't know what happened," because that person like left for the day, came back, and someone else is like, "We don't know where the car is." They reported it stolen. That person gets pulled over with no record of having called the other person. It's crazy shit.
Yeah. So we have this 5 hour drive. It's 10 o'clock by the time we get the car. We start going. It is very lightly snowing, but there is ice. It's just everything is ice and white on the ground. And we're like, all right, we'll just drive carefully. There are no other cars.
Crazily.
There are no other cars on the road, which is, you know, it feels pretty good. It feels a lot safer than there being a lot of cars, you know?
Mm-hmm. But that also shows you that people that are comfortable living in that place are like, not driving out in this.
Found that out when
I was trying to move out here for IGN or whatever, and I was trying to drive, and I was in that Nebraska snowstorm. It was when I was like, man, I haven't seen another car on the road in 15 minutes, and this snow's really coming down, that I switched over to the radio, and they're like, get off the road.
So that's basically what was going on, kind of. It wasn't get off the road, but like, when I put the Instagram video of like being like, oh, Salt Lake City is really pretty, people are like, oh man, you driving in this weather? Like, I'm from Salt Lake City. I'm here right now. Maybe don't. It was like, it's fine. So we only made it like 2 hours. The next morning, woke up, drove another 3 hours. It took a little longer because there was still a lot of ice there. I was driving for maybe half that drive. And it was not a fun drive. A lot of tense moments of like,
fuck yeah.
Yeah, I don't like this turn that I'm taking at 20 miles an hour. But then we got there, had a really nice time. This hotel we were staying at was beautiful. Everything.
No broken bones while skiing?
No. Skiing went really smoothly. I had the same thing that's happened the last two times where I go to rent my skis and I'm like, ooh, I have really wide feet. So you got to give me the wide feet ones. And they're like, these are it. I mean, it's a huge problem, because if you've ever skied before, you know that the bindings on the, not the bindings, but the clips have to be really, really tight, or otherwise your legs, you lose control of them, so your legs will wobble a little bit. But if you've got really wide feet, you do them loosely. So you take those first couple runs that are easy, because I haven't skied in 3 years. Easy runs, no problem. But you start going a little faster, now your foot's wobbling like crazy and you're going to hurt yourself. So you stop. You're like, all right, I'm going to tighten these clips on top as tight as I can. Suddenly, you're screaming in pain because your arches are inflamed. Mm-hmm. So you have to go back to the front desk, take the boots off,
If you gave me a multiple choice.
Yeah, I love this.
And the question was, and Andy, the thing happened to me like it always does whenever I've gone on skiing trips.
That's two times.
I am not picking I've got wide feet, so I gotta get different shoes or whatever.
Well, it's a more recent problem. Anyway.
Recent development. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I went down to but you know, I ski so infrequently, both because, you know, Tahoe is not super close and snow hasn't been plentiful. But the end of the story is I go talk to the dude and he's like, I'm going to bring you the other wide feet shoes, skis, and fucking game changer, man. These are so good. The Atomics, oh my God. And there was this kid who was like, oh, I've got wide feet too. Are those better? And I just put my foot in it and I was like, yeah, it feels a lot better night and day. Skied the rest of the day. I had a great time.
He saw you killing. He's like, man, representation matters out there. Watching another wide
foot. I'm glad somebody's fighting for the wide foot audience.
No, you know what was really sad is like 2 seconds later, his dad came over, another heavy fellow, and just kind of started being like, you're a bitch. Like, there's nothing wrong with your shoe. Just stop being a bitch. And it was like, oh, that sucks. Huh?
How did you respond to being called a bitch by this stranger?
No, he didn't say it to me. He said it to his son. Oh, okay, got it.
My dad died. He threw a zinger at you. That's great.
Because he was the bitch. Greg's in prime form right now. I just had a lot of questions. Baby. I'm glad you could answer them for me. I was very interested in that.
I would like to know, before we wrap this up, Kevin Coelho's approach to skiing. Because, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, but in my brain, I imagine you like to assert dominance on the mountain. When you get up to the black.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going down something really, really steep.
Are we slaloming or are we just fucking cannonball bullet all the way down the hill?
No, I'm cutting down the mountain as hard as possible. Okay, I'm hitting the hard, tight lefts and right, just constantly slow myself down.
Yeah,
there's a big mess. I'm working out my calves and my...
glutes,
thighs,
everything. My legs are getting worked out the next day.
I'm getting a good shoulder workout.
Yeah, the next day. No, I'm not really using my arms, but the next day I was sore. Yeah, my legs were really sore.
I just want the shop owner to be like, I've never seen somebody just rip down the slopes with such wide feet.
Andy, I mean, you're throwing it around, but like, I'm guarantee you people in chat right now have wide feet that like know the pain from skiing. It's tough. It's tough. You really feel it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that was it. That was Jackson. Oh, and then getting back, we were at dinner and I was like, I really don't want to drive 5 hours. So we looked into returning the car. They really didn't want to do it, but they let us return in Jackson. And then, we had to cancel 2 different flights, but we got our direct flight back. We were there for like 4 hours in the airport, but we got back to San Francisco. Yeah, that's it was a lot better. Yeah.
Kev,
I mean, it is. I'd rather be waiting in an airport for 4 hours than driving on icy roads for five.
The airport that has hot lattes and magazines and snacks.
Also,
yeah, absolutely.
The fullest I've ever seen the airport. We found a little corner where they had like a food court. It wasn't even a food court. It was like one restaurant that we were all by ourselves. But like we had trouble walking through the airport. There were so many delayed flights and canceled flights at this airport. It was just shoulder to shoulder. People like... We had to step over people to get to where we were going. That it was insane. Yeah.
Freaking
wear
terrible.
Your masks, people.
Greg, were you looking in chat to see if there's any people?
I didn't see any of the wide foot gang here. But, you know, we have a smaller sampling size for the Patreon thing. A lot of people making fun of the wide feet.
I do want to bring up one thing from chat that I just really love. Kev, can you bring the picture up again of you and Dana White? Melissa Hagler says, it looks like you just got engaged and you're trying to make sure the ring is in the picture.
You gotta understand how muscular this man. It was insane because he's older. He's an older man. God,
ladies and gentlemen, that's the Kind of Funny podcast. If you didn't know, each and every week, 4, sometimes 5 best friends gather on this table, coming to hang out with each other and you. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where of course you could watch every episode live. You could get it ad free. You could write in and be part of the show. You could get the exclusive post show we're about to do. But if you got no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com. Podcast services around the globe. Of course, use Kind of Funny on Epic Games Store. You get there, you get the thing, you support us, and everybody's happy. Everybody's good. But maybe consider going to the Patreon all the same. Mm-hmm. Remember, 7 years of Kind of Funny is being celebrated on January 7th, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. A whole bunch of games and shenanigans, pizza. Maybe Andy will man up. Play me in everybody's golf, you know what I mean? Will he? Will he not? Will he ever make it home? Done.
I fly out tomorrow at like 5 in the morning. 7 in the morning.